Tossed Popcorn is a production of iHeartRadio.
Oh, hello. I'm Liana Holston.
And I'm Sienna Jekyll.
And welcome, everybody, to Tossed Popcorn, the podcast where two idiots watch every film on the AFI's 100 Greatest American Movies of All Time, the very slightly less racist 10th Anniversary Edition.
This podcast right here is a safe space for people who don't know anything about movies. Today, we're watching The General. Number 18 on the AFI list. Warning, there will be spoilers about this chugga-chugga-choo-choo old movie.
Toot-toot! Frickin' content warning. We're gonna be talking about the Civil War, specifically the Confederacy, specifically white supremacy in this episode. And slavery in the American South. And this movie was a comedy. Oh, Sienna.
Mm-hmm.
Another silent film.
Yes.
Just for you.
Just for me.
This movie was what, 1 hour 20?
Swift little flick.
Sienna, I would love to hear what you thought this movie was going to be about.
Here comes my prediction.
Hi, Liana. It's Sienna. I'm about to watch The General, which I know is a Buster Keaton film because, try as I might not to let anyone spoil it, everybody mentioned that it was Buster Keaton when I brought it up. Anyway, I'm really excited because I'm guessing it's going to be a silent movie. And on top of that, I've seen a Buster Keaton, a set of sort of Buster Keaton shorts before, and the man is incredible at physical comedy. He has such impeccable core strength. I'm really excited to watch that. And I think perhaps he's going to accidentally be the general of an army or something like that. Am I thinking about... I think there literally is a Charlie Chaplin film where he's like a dictator on accident. Yes. Anyway, I think he's going to accidentally fall into a leadership role and be goofy. All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, it does eventually happen a little bit. That's not the general they were talking about, though.
No, it is not.
All right, I'd love to hear your prediction.
Here is my prediction of the general.
Good morning, Sienna. It's Liana. I'm about to watch The General from the year 1927. What? Of course I don't know anything about this movie. I only can hope that at some point somebody in it says, for a great low rate you can get online, go to The General and save some time. Love you, bye.
Also close.
Yeah. Spot flipping on. Also, I have to apologize. I said 1927 on the record. It was, of course, 1926.
Of course. Mm.
Sienna, dareth you deliver a summary of this movie?
I do dareth.
Oh, here we go, baby.
Why don't we first ask our listeners to, again, everybody, please, if you like this show.
Oh, shit. Yes.
It's okay. It's right now. Huh. If you like, no, it's good.
God damn it.
No, it's all right. This is the time. She's crying. If you like this show, please remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Give a little review. It really helps a lot. Also, feel free to follow us on Instagram, Twitter. We put lots of content out there. Mm-hmm. We put in a ridiculous amount of work and love into this show.
Yeah. Sienna, how would you summarize the film The General?
All right. The General. 1861. Mm. The Confederate South.
Yeah.
A deadpan little train engineer, played by Buster Keaton, is simping hard over his crush, but she can't bear to look at him once he fails to enlist in the army. As luck may have it, his train and his crush are both snatched away by Union soldiers, and he must embark on a wild caboose chase to save his locomotive, his woman, and the Confederacy.
Yeah.
The end. So the whole movie, it's silent, slapstick, full of sound effects, and has a whole lot of train and railroad stunts.
Choo-choo.
And it's kind of a war movie, which I completely did not register, but it seems perhaps like you did. Is there any historical context for this movie?
Yeah. It's not going to be fun.
But...
I know. I'm really sorry. I'm so sorry, everybody, but we got to talk about it. Here's some historical context for the 1926 film, The General. Written by, starring, directed by Buster Keaton. At least two of those.
Hmm.
Buster Keaton himself was born in 1895 into a vaudeville family in Kansas.
Oh.
His father owned a traveling show with Harry Houdini.
Oh, cool.
Most famous of the Houdinis. Buster served in France during the First World War. Unfortunately, we are now out of fun facts about him because he credited Birth of a Nation as his biggest inspiration to make movies.
Movies in general?
Movies in general!
Oh my God.
He saw it multiple times in the cinema, a Paz, and I was like, oh no! That was a 1915 film. Very, very racist. The literal reason that we do the 10th anniversary edition of this list, because that one is on the original one, and we said, oh God, no. He also feared that movie audiences at the time, the year 1926, would not accept Union soldiers as the heroes and Southerners as the villains of a narrative, because at that time, 1926, the South was still very much considered the underdog.
Holy crap.
Of Civil War narratives.
Oh my gosh.
Mm.
Holy shit.
This movie itself, which, by the way, did you watch it in black and white or was yours weirdly colorized?
It was weirdly colorized.
Okay, that's good because there are multiple versions of this movie. And this is funny. This is because the movie's like copywriter did a bad job and the movie ended up becoming public domain in 1954.
Oops.
So there's like a black and white version on IMDb Pro, but the soundtrack is not the soundtrack from the original. Like, it's not the score at all. The one that we watched, I'm not sure that's the original score. The movie was filmed in the state of Oregon, famously not the South, because the narrow gauge tracks that could accommodate antique locomotives were still in use there in 1926.
Oh.
The Union and the Confederate armies were played by the same 500 members of the Oregon National Guard. They just had them switch jackets and hats.
That's very, very funny.
The scene where the Texas, that train, crashes through the bridge,
yeah,
was the most expensive single shot of the silent film era.
Oh, my mouth, my jaw was on the floor for that.
Oh, I'm really? Like,
this is, yeah, because it's 1926.
Yeah.
And no, a train broke. The bridge broke. It was a shot of an actual train.
Yeah.
This was not drawings. And it fell into the water, a river.
But it's like, as soon as you put a bridge in a movie that has trains, that train is going to fall off that bridge.
You work for a production company. I just don't understand how it was
we do
so
like live events where the trains stay up.
It just would have been a huge undertaking at the time, I would assume.
Here's an incredibly fun fact.
Okay.
That train stayed in that river until World War II, when it was salvaged for scrap metal.
Of course. They're like, we'll just leave it.
Just leave it. Leave it in the river, whatever. Nobody needs it.
That's hilarious.
The movie is actually based on a true story, which is the 1863 novel Daring and Suffering, A History of the Great Railroad Adventure by William Pittenger, and that is about the Great Locomotive Chase, which was a military raid on April 12th of 1862, in which Union Army volunteers, led by civilian scout James J. Andrews, commandeered the train The General in northern Georgia and took it north toward Chattanooga, Tennessee. Along the way, they did as much damage as possible to the Western and Atlantic Railroad, or W&A line, and they were pursued by Confederate soldiers for 87 miles. However, the ending of this story is sadder, which is that in real life, ultimately the Union volunteers were captured and some of them hanged by Confederate soldiers as spies. Ugh. Some of the people who commandeered the train were the first to be awarded the Medal of Honor by the U.S. Congress for their actions.
Wow. This is so stupid, but some part of me was hoping that they were making fun of them a little bit, since there was like a lot of comedy about war itself, since it was a comedy that took place in war.
Totally.
I was just hoping.
There was a line very early on that was like, if you lose this war, don't blame me. And I was like, oh, that's funny because they lost the war.
And the whole comedy of just like, he's losing no matter what. No matter what happens at the end of this movie, like, they lost.
And the reason that it was not embarrassing to still consider the South the underdogs in Civil War narratives rather than pro-slavery assholes
and what's wrong with, yeah.
Is something called the Lost Cause myth. There was an organization called the United Daughters of the Confederacy, which was founded in 1894, 1 year before Buster Keaton was born, 29 years after the Civil War ended. And this organization, whose acronym is the UDC, strove to characterize Southern soldiers from the Civil War as, quote, noble fallen heroes who had treated their slaves kindly and opposed Northern aggression on the principles of individualism and democracy, not over the right to own human beings. So the UDC, the United Daughters of the Confederacy, were pushing this narrative that the Civil War was about states' rights. In the year 1926, the year that this movie came out, the United Daughters of the Confederacy erected a monument to the KKK. They also pushed the narrative via school textbooks in the South. They called it the War of Northern Aggression rather than the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lost Cause myth itself. In the years immediately following the war, there was a systematic effort to reframe the war in order to, quote, reunite the nation, quell bitterness, and assuage the ego of the defeated Southerners. How hauntingly familiar does that sound?
It's just so haunting that it started this early.
Yeah. Okay, there is a very, very good piece in The Atlantic by Clint Smith, which is a piece that was repurposed from his book, How the Word is Passed, which was released this year. And the quote from it is, quote, Confederate history is family history, history as eulogy, in which loyalty takes precedence over truth. And Clint Smith talks about going to the South and visiting old churches with a lot of monuments to Confederate soldiers and speaking with white Southerners whose family members fought in the Civil War, fought and died for the Confederacy. And all of them today argue it wasn't about slavery. It was about states' rights. There is evidence from historians that over 50% of the Confederate soldiers had a direct connection to slavery and were directly profiting off of it. The Lost Cause myth is propaganda that we have had in this country for over 150 years, and look where we are today.
Of course.
Of course, the Civil War, the American Civil War, was about slavery. If you take anything away from this episode, please let it be that. Ah!
This is going to be tough because I really like this movie.
I wondered. I really thought you might.
This will be an experience of having watched it without having any of that, yeah. Thinking about any of that.
Minus the part where we did know that he was a Confederate soldier for the whole film.
Well, here's the thing, and this is like a problematic thing, is like the whole war. I know that he was a Confederate soldier the whole time, but again, I was like still holding out hope that maybe this was sort of like a joke.
Yeah.
So minus knowing that part, I'm like, oh, there must be narrative reasons why they chose this side,
mm-hmm.
you know,
because mm-hmm.
again, this actually happened, the locomotive,
right.
Whatever chase. So anyway.
And I guess I'm just realizing now, Gone with the Wind came out in what, 1939,
mm-hmm.
13 years after this movie. Mm-hmm. And that was unbelievably pro-South.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
It clearly was not uncommon to see right. narratives like this.
Yeah. Gone with the Wind is like about the beauty of the culture of the South.
Mm-hmm.
This one, if you're watching it without thinking hard about the context, it's just
right.
takes place there. It's like
yes.
the point of history they chose to have a little story in, you know?
Right. The reason that it's funny is the same reason that it's problematic, which is that it treats the Civil War as just sort of a stock war.
Totally.
So you could lay it over any war. It's just like a Commedia dell'arte stock character narrative. Sienna, shall we move on to phone notes?
We absolutely shall. First thing I loved about this movie,
mm-hmm.
and I'm so sorry.
I know.
First thing I loved about this movie was that it starts out by telling us right away, he had two loves. The man loved his train and he loved a girl. That tells you everything you need to know about this whole story.
Yeah.
I've been in enough film classes to know every movie's trying to tell you he had two loves. But I don't pick up on that in any other film. Mm-hmm. This one had it written down on a card, and the card was on there long enough for me to read those words.
Yeah. And then it showed you a picture of a train and a picture of a woman.
Appreciate it.
And you were like, got it. Yes, I did enjoy that beginning. And then I said, there's no way there's not a horse in this film.
And
there were so many.
They delivered.
Ooh.
Chugga chugga choo choo. We gotta go take an ad break. Okay, it starts off, he goes to his crush's house with two children. Who were they?
Who were those children?
Who were the children? I was like, okay, maybe I know he likes a train, but maybe he's like a Sunday school teacher. Maybe she's a Sunday school teacher.
Yeah, we don't see them ever again.
No, the children enter the home and then he wants to go kiss her and he, funny, puts on his hat and then the kids put on their hat and they walk out the door. But then he closes the door and we never see the children again.
Did they go enlist?
Maybe.
I bet one of them becomes the crying flute player in Gone with the Wind.
You're so right. 100%. The pro-South cinematic universe.
The PSCU.
Which unfortunately is
massive. I also actually do want to say right now, we are treating the South as a monolith, and it very much is not. Right. It very much is like a brutally gerrymandered region in which the people who live there, the people who actually live there, are not properly represented and don't have a proper voice in how things happen and how decisions are made. Okay.
He brings his crush a photo.
I laughed so hard.
Me too.
At this photo. Because imagine your suitor is coming over to your house to not kiss you in front of two strange children. And then he's like, I got you a picture of me. And it's a picture of him in front of his job, absolutely dead in the eyes.
So he brings her this selfie, basically, and it's like sort of an extra long frame so it can get more of his train in it. It's his train in the background and Buster Keaton's deadpan face, and he hands it to her and it stays there for a bit. And I also laughed out loud. It was very funny.
I actually would want that. Like, I would treasure that from a guy. If he was like, here's me at work. What would your selfie be? Of like, here's me.
Here's
for
me.
You.
Just for you to hold on to. I'm not even actually going to the war yet. I just want you to have it.
Yeah.
I guess it would be me maybe making a smoothie.
Yeah.
One of my smoothies. Like right
so
before
bad.
I regret it. Right when I'm at my happiest, where it's like, maybe this one will be good.
Yeah.
Before I add just a few too many leafy greens or something with peanut butter. And it's just, ugh.
I don't think we've explained this on the podcast before. Sienna makes very elaborate, terrible smoothies.
I've made two that have tasted exactly like a ham sandwich. Makes no sense how.
You're like a Dr. Seuss cartoon.
I think it's the avocado. It has sort of a mayonnaise flavor.
Stop putting avocado in smoothies. You don't need it. Okay. They're in her home. Her dad is in his, I don't know, study. And then her brother, her dad's son, comes in the door and is like, they fired upon Fort Sumter, which is famously how the Civil War was started. And then the dad's like, the war is here. And then the line that the son says, which again, silent film, it's written text on the screen, was so funny because I'm going to read it the way that I read it in my head. Yes, dad, and I'm going to be the first one to enlist. I just didn't know people said dad before the year like 2003.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Either father or daddy sometimes.
Papa.
Dad.
Happy. Yes, dad. Like I can't,
that's
I
really
can't
funny.
Hear it not in a moody teen voice.
And then they leave to enlist. She kisses her brother full on the mouth.
Does she?
I think
I was blackout from that line. I don't know.
And I didn't remember that line from her kissing her brother on the mouth. Maybe it was the cheek very close to her mouth. All I know is the dad kisses her on the head. Then because I couldn't figure out that was her brother for the longest time.
Oh.
I was like, is this her other boyfriend? Also, I didn't understand her relationship with Buster Keaton. Like, were they going out? I don't understand suitors from the past.
Some review of it was like his fiance. And I was
What?
According to whomst, they did not seem to be at that level.
She was not that. I mean, he brought her a photo.
Yeah. With two ducklings behind him who he then kicked out. It's also, so the brother and the dad go off to enlist and Buster just kind of sits there and watches them leave. And then she's like, aren't you going to enlist? And it is so funny to end up in a war because somebody's like, aren't you also going? And you're like, yeah, I guess.
Sure, I'll enlist to give up my life.
Off I go to war.
Also, the power this woman has.
I think you actually would end up accidentally. Or unintentionally, unplanned enlisting in war.
Oh, I could so easily be convinced of.
Yeah.
Well, I have to go.
Yeah. Like Sienna.
If everybody in my family was going to do the war, I'd go. Yeah, for sure.
The war. Did you hear about the Jekylls? They're doing the war. he goes to the enlisting office and they're like, don't take him. He's an engineer. He's way better to the South. Like, he's way more useful doing his actual job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's at the enlisting office. There's some gags going on as he's trying to trick the guys into letting him enlist. At one point, he's sizing himself up. So Buster Keaton is very, very small.
Yeah.
And so they'll have like a lot of taller actors come through and highlight it.
Did you think he was hot?
He's a little bit hot.
Yeah, I thought you might.
He looked very haunted. I wondered how you felt. And had a what you might see as a good butt.
I did write down good butt.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you did. I know you did. And that's where all his strength comes from, by the way.
That's because they give a full shot of it early on. The only thing that escaped Hays Codes was butts. And I said, thank you.
Just a little bit in the back.
You can have one full butt per film.
Yeah, I was, he's a little bit hot. He's so good at what he does.
Yeah. No, and I get it.
I was a little bit horny during this movie.
I know.
I think I was waiting for all these stunts to happen, and they were, and I was, like, getting fulfilled over and over. And there's something about that that was just like,
yeah.
Wow.
Like, hot. When a man does things that you hope he's going to do.
And he keeps doing them.
And he does them. It's just that concept of consistency and reliability. He was doing the thing that he's best at.
Yeah.
At his, like, highest level, yeah. too. Do you know he did all of his own stunts? Oh, my God, she...
I guess I just assumed he did.
The lip bite.
So did they have a lot of only one shots then in this movie?
I imagine.
Oh my gosh, he's so talented.
I got confused about filmmaking again in this movie. Could you watch it back in any way to know that you got the shot? Like if you were directing your own movie
yeah.
that you were starring in, how did you know that it looked good once it had been
yeah.
taped?
Not for a long time. Not until they developed the film, I guess. That's a good point. I don't know how Charlie Chaplin kept being so disappointed.
So did you just like record for a day and be like, hope that was good and then wait and see?
I guess so.
Wow. Nobody answered that. We actually don't care.
One thing I did like about this movie also that I was impressed with from a cinematic, what is the word again?
Cinematographic.
You knew it. Cinematographic standpoint. Just the shots. Just good choices of shot for comedy, you know? Like, it'd be like the cannon was however far behind him and he was up close to the camera in a way where I was impressed. And I guess they've been doing movies for a while at this point, but still, just that they had an idea of what a good shot would look like. It was almost like they were used to comics or something like that, the way that they had it set up. But I don't think that was as big of a thing before. So anyway, I was impressed. Seemed storyboarded.
Ah.
But I doubt it was.
I'm not going to lie to you. I did not know that trains could go in reverse.
I don't know if I did either. I accepted it immediately.
Oh.
But that happens a lot.
A big part of this film is trains going in reverse.
I don't think I knew they could stop that easily.
Could they? Like, I didn't really believe that.
Like, it kept stopping, and I was like, there's no way.
Right? I had a thought, which was that this film would not work with women as the cast because women would just notice what was going on around them. And most of the comedy was things happening around Buster Keaton and he just was not aware.
And him totally blind to it.
Yeah.
That's like, really funny.
If five women were gathered around a table talking about their war strategy.
Yeah.
One of them would be like, oh, I just kicked something under the table. Let me look. Oh my God, there's a man under here.
Sorry, hold on. There's less food on the table than there was before. I'm just going to look around. Can we talk about this lady?
Which one? Oh, the only one.
There's only
Insane
one.
Insane question. Sorry.
I love that question. Very aspirational question.
Really optimistic. Yeah, we can talk about her. What's up?
So first of all, I guess, what has happened so far? It's just a bunch of train stunts. So,
oh, yeah. She got. She got taken, starring Liam Neeson.
He tries to enlist. Doesn't work. He takes his train out and then Union soldiers actually take the train. They hijack it. Mm-hmm. And there's one person still on that train. His GF. I think her name's like Annabelle. Annabelle, let's say
that's
it's Annabelle.
That's news to me.
Annabelle goes back onto the train to get something and bad luck ends up getting taken along with this train.
Yeah,
and
because the train is already moving. They've detached it from the rest of the cars and they're like, oh my God, there's a woman in here.
Yeah.
Okay, what else about this damp woman?
Okay, damp. Yeah, I guess she is damp for much of the film. She's majority damp.
Yeah. And then she dries off and she gets damp again.
Okay, she is so stupid.
Yes. Did you find that, like, funny at all? I just was mad.
Here's the things I did not like about the woman. A, the way they handled her in general, like, they literally handled her body in a way that was just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, they had to tie her up and they kind of throw her around. And he does a lot of, like, why I oughta kind of like, oh, I love you and I want to shake you by the neck. And then
it's also known as choking.
Give you a kiss on the lips.
Right.
I want to give your neck a handshake.
Yeah, it's choking.
The only thing I did appreciate about her is she's insanely useless, like every woman in many of these films. The only difference is that she's also like incredibly flirty.
Oh.
Much later on when they're extremely damp in the rain, she sort of nestles her head into his neck and is like, it was so brave the way you saved me back there.
Do you remember when there was a bear? I said,
that was truly just a glimpse of a bear.
It was just a bear. And then they turned away and then they turned back and there was still a bear. And then they went on to the next scene.
Did you think it was a real bear? First, I thought there was someone in a suit.
It was definitely a real bear.
Oh my gosh. It was just for a second.
Yeah, it was so funny. Okay, bring the bear in and send the bear out.
It was like in the background too.
I loved it. I loved it. This is like, he's done a Liesel style entrance through the window, soaking wet from the rain to rescue the woman who is sitting on the bed in her damp clothes.
Crying.
I was like, they wrote a dumb character. This is not something any woman would do.
No, I would completely 100% do that. I would 100% be damp in damp clothes.
On the bed?
On my bed, of course, 100%.
You stress me out so much.
I'm constantly damp.
No, don't.
Because I lived in Seattle. And then it rains.
Yeah, but you don't have to be damp. This is the thing where, like, you can leave a party.
No one uses umbrellas in Seattle. You just become damp. It's good. It's cool.
That's not.
And then I get on my bed because it's comfortable. 100% I was cool with that. This woman was making good choices. Anyway, go on.
Literally all the energy just left my body. This is the most tired you've made me.
It went right to me.
On the podcast.
I'm getting stronger.
Man, y'all, the Civil War was a bad time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a reviewer of The General who was like, I think somebody should have told Buster Keaton that, like, war isn't funny. I think I felt the same way. So.
No, I definitely get how that would have been really unpleasant. I'm embarrassed at how much I was able to separate myself from actually processing it at all. I didn't know it was going to be about the Civil War before. And then it was just so about a train.
Yes. Well, and they do a really good job of helping everybody not process the context,
which
they don't
so,
put any context in there.
So just the time that it came out for that exact reason is so creepy.
Yeah. Ma'am, get in the shoe bag was very funny. They've just spent the night outdoors after escaping. Both of them got caught in a bear trap. I was like, okay, they're both going to die from infection. First of all, like, they're going to get typhus and die.
That was
it's
one of the
1861.
Most, this is about the time in the movie where instead of the gags being like wood falling off of something, suddenly it starts being that they're getting chomped by bear traps and killing people. Like, this is right before all the killing people.
It's a literal Civil War battle.
Which was pretty funny.
I know.
Just the dropping like flies of it all, which I get why it's like a war isn't funny. And if this was like a, could somehow be a war in a vacuum type movie, which I
exactly.
guess it's just like, that's not possible.
I think if this film had not been about the American Civil War, if they had just been like, we're doing like a war film, but it's like a made up fictional war.
That would have been
great. It would have been hilarious. And you know what? Hey, at least a woman learned engineering during the film. Surprisingly, a second woman engineer on the list. Not officially. By the end of this movie, but you know.
Because she drives the train?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Because he's an engineer. And then by the end of it, she also knows how to do trains.
Right. After she's made it go backwards like 40 times. But
she's
by
incredible
the end.
At it. She's. They made her so dumb.
So much comedy came from her just being a big dumb doy doy.
Did you feel at all stressed during this movie? Or were you just like.
I had a really good time. I really liked it.
I also completely, everything else aside, to me, this movie felt like those nightmares where you're trying to get somewhere, but you keep not being able to.
Oh.
And so I was like, just get on the train, take the woman with you, and get back to where you started already. But then I was like, I guess if they did that, there wouldn't be a film. And so I guess really this film is not for me because I can't enjoy it.
That's so funny.
I was so stressed. I also was like, they were both trying to do a heist, but neither of them had told each other what they were going to do. And then I was like, you know what? This is a movie about the importance of communication in a relationship.
Wow. You're so right.
Thanks. So many naked horses. Did you see the naked horses?
No.
I think this is like right at the end.
I remember the horses. I didn't notice they were naked.
Oh, boy. And I was like, why are the horses naked? It's at a camp, of a bunch of soldiers, and their horses are like parked outside the tents. But they don't have their saddles on. And I realized that this is the first film on the list where we've seen a naked horse. And I felt scandalized. Oh, I was like, oh, these horses, they're so exposed.
I'm so sorry that I'm seeing you this way.
I know, it was unnecessary boob, but in horse form.
It's been just a matter of time before they combined, before they fused. It's been drawing closer and closer. Unnecessary horse boob. One of the funniest moments for me in this movie was when, so we talked about that scene where the train falls mm-hmm. off of a bridge, mm-hmm. but when it falls, Buster Keaton and Annabelle at some point in their adventure had started burning this bridge so that the Union soldiers couldn't get over it. When the Union soldiers finally arrive, the general of that group, the mm-hmm. lieutenant, whatever, the man in charge, he goes up to the guys in the train and he's like, don't worry. That bridge is not burned enough for you guys to fall. And then we'll go through the water. So we're going to go through the water and you just drive over. It's fine. And they're all like, all right, this checks out. And then the train pulls onto the bridge and it collapses immediately.
They cut right back to the general's face. And it is the perfect, well, shit expression. He did do a good job.
And like, yeah, that's exactly what happens all the time. That is white male confidence perfectly right there.
But he actually like had to face the consequences of that.
He's like,
Well, that didn't work.
Honorable mention for when they shoot the cannon up, straight up. And it comes crashing down to the dam and fills everything.
Stuff flying up is always funny.
The cannon stuff was really funny to me.
The looking around, where did it go? That works every time. Oh, sweetie, cover your eyes. That horse is naked. We'll be right back. What a film. Eventually it ends where they get back to the Confederacy. They stop and attack. It's not the plot of 1917 for a second where he's like, they've been planning this for months. And then Benedict Cumberbatch turns around and is like, stand them down. I gotta rewatch that movie. It's so good. Okay, anyway. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. So he saves the day and then he gets the girl and he also gets promoted to lieutenant. And then they kiss while he's saluting all the soldiers who were walking past. Which
the
is
ending's
also
really funny.
Funny.
It's actually a really good ending.
They keep trying
ending.
To kiss, but people keep walking past and he has to salute them. And then his solution to that is they are smooching and he salutes multiple, just over and over and over again.
Whilst smooching.
As so many people walk past. As the Oregon National Guard of 1926, having changed jackets, walks past him. All right. Now it's time for badges and trages, where we award the film badges for things that we think it did well and trages for the rest of it. Sienna, what are your badges for the film The General?
Badge for effects and stunts, mostly that train falling into the water. But yes. In general, using a train as their main prop was just interesting and impressive to watch. It was interesting.
Yeah.
Badge for just comedy. I laughed at a lot of these stunts and I wish this wasn't about the Civil War, but in general, the concept of just a comedy movie being things flying and you have to wait for them to come back down or people not seeing you and your hat gets caught on something. Mm. Why isn't that what comedy movies are now? Like, why did it turn to Anchorman and stuff like that? Like, I want that. Where is that?
It's because of these movies. They laid the groundwork for Anchorman.
But it's worse now. Let's go back and we can make them that aren't in the Civil War.
I think we should just have women make films. I think that's actually the solution.
I 100% agree.
Just non-men generally.
Oh, baby. Three badges.
Wow.
For sound effects.
Were they part of the original movie?
I tried looking it up.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't tell.
Okay.
I couldn't find out.
I researched it. I don't know.
This is why I wasn't good at school in college. I guess I gave up researching is what happened. So anyway, I don't know. But at least in this viewing of it, they made me laugh so much. Mm. There were smack noises. You hear the of him opening up the fire door.
Yeah.
And then the of the fire. And then it closes immediately. And God, it was so funny.
Yeah.
It was just a feast of sound effects. A badge for a woman making a smart decision on her own, where she goes down and ties rope to both the trees.
I loved that.
Made that decision by herself.
All right, this was right at the beginning and now I'm like, oh no. A badge for fiddle music, because that always takes me back to my Irish roots. Mm. But then I was reminded of how I knew the Virginia reel from Gone with the Wind, and I was like, oh no. A badge for a corner shelf that is exactly what I am looking to buy and place in the corner of my room. Oh. There was a corner shelf in her home when he gives her his like train selfie next to the dad's study door. There was a corner shelf, and I was like, that's it. Is that on OfferUp? Is that on the Facebook Marketplace? A badge for bereftly riding the things that go up and down on a train. This is like, he's just been rejected by her. He's sitting on the thing, the bar that connects the wheels to each other. Mm-hmm. And it like goes the spoke. Up and down, and he just sits on it. And it's funny.
It's really, really funny.
A badge for an absolute leap onto an old-timey bicycle, where he comes out of like out of frame and is airborne and lands on an old-timey bike with a huge wheel and a small wheel.
He did some leaping.
A badge for a Liesl-style entrance through a window in a rain-soaked outfit. A badge for, this is a little hot. And that was when they're like huddling together and they're both like injured and sad. Mm. Oh, God. I learned so much about myself on this podcast, and it's so worrying. And finally, a badge for rolling your eyes at the inconvenience of the person you were talking to getting shot. That was very funny.
That was so
funny. And that's where I was like, oh, if this had just been a stock war, this would have been so good. Because he's trying to give instructions to two other soldiers about, like, there's a sniper down there. Like, look down there. And then each of the soldiers gets shot. And he turns back and the guy's dead. And he's like, oh.
They just drop like flies.
It's such a funny reaction to it.
It was really funny. He's very deadpan. That's why I thought you might like him a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Trages. First trage, war. Mm-hmm. Just a war movie and the Civil War especially.
Yeah.
Ugh. Trage for on-screen reading.
Yes. Unfortunately, a staple of silent film.
Yeah.
It's like you can't have it all.
You just can't have it all. You know? And you just can't have it all.
Yeah.
And a trage for a woman being too stupid to understand wood. It's the same woman who made a smart decision on her own, mm-hmm. but unfortunately she's too stupid to understand wood. So she just doesn't get it. She doesn't get how it burns.
Yeah. I got a trage for a woman being disappointed that a man didn't enlist. No, wrong. A trage for a woman sitting on a bed in very damp clothes. And I cannot hear you say again that you would do that because it stresses me out so much. How does the bed dry out? It's going to get mildewy. Also, in the past, clothes were all layers. That's like six layers of damp. A trage for the Confederate flag. A trage again for horses' rights in early cinema because I don't have high hopes that these horses had a good time. Maybe the naked ones, but everybody else, I don't know.
They were free.
And finally, a trage for a pro-war film. And I think this is different from, because I know that I've said 1917 is my favorite movie, and that's famously a war film. But I don't think 1917 is pro-war. I think it's set during war. And I do think there's a difference where this one was like, you're so heroic if you go off and enlist. I mean, it's like pro-war propaganda, pretty much, was this movie.
Next is a little segment called How to Pretend You've Seen This Film. This is for when it's one of those days at school where you get to have like a party because it's like at the end of the...
An ice cream social.
It's like before break or something like that. So in history class, you guys have just taken your midterms or whatever and you're getting to party in class. Barney comes up to you and he says, wow, I think I did pretty well on that midterm. What? Is this offensive to someone?
Where and when is Barney from? I'm really getting like one of the guys who is sitting on the beam in that construction photo from New York City in like the 30s.
I'm Barney. I think I pretty much aced that midterm, and I'm going to celebrate tonight by watching my favorite movie, reminded me of. Not only because I love the Civil War, but I'm also one of those guys who loves trains. And that movie is The General. I'm going to start talking about it unless you say anything in a second. So speak now or forever hold your peace. And then boom, you come in there with a couple things of your own to say about this movie, The General, so that Barney has to cease.
Well, let me stop you right there, Barney, and say, yeah, I know about The General. And I would actually say how very Lawrence of Arabia of this movie to steal a train and cut off supply lines.
Yeah, Barney, I've seen The General, and I would just say, how very Lawrence of Arabia of that movie to show off a landscape being Oregon / Georgia instead of the desert.
Yeah, Barney, I've seen The General, and I would say, how very Lawrence of Arabia to horse.
Oh, yes, I've seen The General. And all I can say is I love trains almost as much as I love movies.
Oh!
Yeah, then Barney's like, ooh!
Yeah, Barney, I know about that movie. And I would say, for a great low rate you can get online, go to The General and save some time. All right, here's a massive time saver for you. In a segment we like to call Should You Watch This Or, in which we tell you if we think you should watch this movie or if you should do something else with your time.
Yeah.
Sienna, thoughts?
I'm really conflicted now.
Yeah.
Because I gotta say, I enjoyed this movie a lot while I was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a fun, an easy watch in terms of exposition and normal movie cinema crap that I don't like.
Mm.
But now I've been reminded that it was about things and it took place at a time and can't have any sort of blissful ignorance about what the intentions behind this film were.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So I feel very strange. I guess what I want people to do is to look up some Buster Keaton on YouTube. I know he's not the best, as we've heard. He didn't have the best takes. I was very entertained. So YouTube some Buster Keaton stuff. Again, I liked this film, but I don't think you have to watch it because it's a bit complicated.
Yeah.
And actually not that complicated.
No.
What about you, Liana?
Don't watch this movie. What you could do instead is you could read The Atlantic Peace by Clint Smith, which is called Why Confederate Lies Live On. America didn't do what Germany did in terms of educating its people about the horrors of its past, and it's on us to keep doing that for ourselves. So I really recommend reading that piece. In terms of a film you could watch, ooh, gosh, let's think. Hmm. I wonder what it could be. Hmm. A war film starring a haunted man and one woman? You gotta watch 1917.
Hello.
Wow, Benedict Cumberbatch does backting, which is where his back is to the camera, and he emotes solely through his shoulder blades.
Yeah, that's a man being physically capable on screen.
There are caravans of vehicles that make a train of cars.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to say something to the person next to him, and that person turns out to be dead.
Sort of a different tone, but maybe the tone it should be, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And both movies have a surprise animal.
Where you go, was that really there?
Wait, hang on. Is that a cow? Was that a bear? Sienna, what would you rate this film? You also, if you want, could do like post-watching it versus post, you know.
I think I'll do
now.
That. Yeah. Because this isn't really one that you can separate. And like, I think it's important to recognize that.
Okay. Uh-huh. The reason that we do this podcast is we're saying, okay, you've said these movies are incredible. Fine. We will watch them and we will really think about them and we'll tell you what we think.
Yeah.
So I think something that our different perspectives provide is like you come into these episodes with like the casual movie watcher's take on the film, which is how a lot of people, including a lot of the people who probably made this list, watch movies where they see it. They're like, cool, saw that movie, saw it in its own like bubble, experienced it as a film, not going to go home and like Google it a bunch because that's insane. Who does that? Me. And so I think you give a really valuable perspective of like, this is how people experience these films. And the problem is that people experience the film and then they just call it a day. They don't examine it further.
Right.
Which, I mean, there's a lot to be said there about like white comfort. Anyway, I just think that it's a really helpful thing to hear. Just like a standard reaction to these movies and then also go further and say like, well, okay, hey, this is more about like the actual film itself and this history behind it and why maybe it doesn't deserve to be on a current modern day list of the greatest 100 movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Was that coherent?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for supporting me in this way and pulling me out of the shame hole of having given this.
My job as the non-Catholic on the show. Oh, she's in there. I gotta go get her.
Fish me out.
Yeah.
I before would have given this a 4.5, a train-laden thirst traps out of 5.
Yeah.
Again, I still liked the gags. It was just a cinematographically an inoffensive watch.
Mm.
And again, I think that's the danger of it, as we said.
Yeah.
I just feel skeevy about it now. I think I would now give it a 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
That seemed fine. Does that seem okay?
Mm-hmm. There's also, like, our ranking system is not designed to appropriately quantify the impact of racism, right? Like, that is not what this is for. This is just a dumb podcast by two dumb women. Like, it's we're not out here trying to fix math around racism.
True. Also, my rating score has gotten so askew.
If we charted or if a fan made a graph, it'd be all over the place.
What would you rate this film, Liana?
I started at a 2.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm down to a 1.
Mm-hmm.
1 naked horse out of 5. Because I do think some of the comedy was impressive and did work and still lands.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, while watching it, did think this probably was physically like really hard to make. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how they made this.
Yeah.
how'd they get this train?
Yeah.
how'd the train go backwards? I had so many logistical questions. So I thought it was, in those regards, a feat, but I can't give it anything higher because all the reasons listed earlier of just the refusal to acknowledge the truth about the history of this country and the actual harm caused and being caused to this day.
I get how they put it on here, and I get why we do this podcast.
Yeah. Right.
And why things need to be reevaluated.
Yeah. All right, everybody. This has been Tossed Popcorn's episode on The General. Thank you so much for listening. We are all over social media. We are at Tossed Popcorn on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Clash.
And remember to please rate us 5 stars if you love us as much as we love you.
That's right. And next week, we will be watching...
On the Waterfront.
A beach movie.
Finally.
Thank you. We love you.
Bye. Bye. You can find us on Instagram as at Sienna Jekyll and at Liana Holston. Please check the description for the spelling of our dumb names. We put out episodes every Tuesday, so make sure to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. See you next week on Tossed Popcorn. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check the iHeartRadio app.